It will not surprise a great many people to learn that Ramsey Clark has joined Saddam Hussein's defense team of more than 20 lawyers. For a generation now, the former Attorney General of the United States has made a name for himself defending the damned, clients charged with horrendous acts who, for one reason or another, are widely considered guilty before their trials ever begin. He's given legal counsel to Branch Davidian leader David Koresh, accused war criminal Slobodan Milosevic, Sheikh Omar Abdulrahman, who was convicted in the 1993 World Trade Center bombing, and a Rwandan pastor who led killing squads during the massacres of the 1990s. Mr. Clark has also represented anti-war activists and Native American activists. His zealous defense of his clients has earned him both admiration and damnation. Ramsey Clark joins us now from New York City. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Mr. Clark, how did you come to be included in this defense team?
Let me say that there's not for sure any defense team because there's not been contact with Saddam Hussein. He's been held in isolation for well over a year now. No member of the family's talked to him. They barely are sure that their letters have gotten through, although they understand to the extent that they have, they've been censored. The fundamental right of assistance of counsel when you're accused of crime includes counsel of your own choice. So until he actually chooses, you don't know who will be on a defense team. One lawyer apparently met with him about the 19th of December, and at that time he reported that Saddam Hussein mentioned my name as one of the people that he would be interested in being contacted. After hearing that, I went to meet the family and told them that I would be prepared to defend him if he wanted to in any way that I could be helpful.
What about those people who would say that whatever treatment he's received had certainly been better than that which he accorded hundreds of thousands of political prisoners over the years?
If the theory is that one wrong justifies another, then there'll be no end to wrongs. Certainly it's harder for Americans. One of the greatest problems that we have is demonization. I think it's always been necessary to demonize an enemy for soldiers because you just don't have the heart to kill somebody unless you think they're a demon or bad or evil or going to hurt you or something. We've had a long history of it, but now the demonization is relentless. So you can stop anybody on the street and they can recite to you all the terrible things that all these people are alleged to have done. But that doesn't overcome the fact that the truth is hard to find in these matters, and very often fault can be shared, and demonization makes it seem that all wrong and evil, as President Bush likes to say, is on one side. You know, I don't really believe in evil. I think we have people who do terrible things, but if you call people evil, you're prepared to crush them. That's not good for peace.
What do you think you have learned from over the years from some of the defenses you've mounted that you might bring to a titular defense of Saddam Hussein, recognizing you, as you note, you haven't really been anointed to stand up in court or lead the defense team, but what are some of the lessons you think that maybe you can pass on?
Well, I think there are a number that are clear. The first is, and it's founded in international law, that you have to have a legal court that's, as the law says, competent, which means it's legally constituted, that's independent, and that it itself is personally impartial. Because if you don't have those three qualities, you're probably wasting your time in the trial because it's not going to be a fair trial, so what's the point? Now, if you look at the court that's been set up in Iraq, that court was created by the U.S. We chose the group that chose the court. Well, both in fact and in appearance, who could possibly have confidence in that court being competent or independent or impartial? Like the Rwanda court. There's not been a single Tutsi prosecuted in the ICTR, the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda. Yet the former prime minister, the first prime minister under the present government, says that more Hutus were killed than Tutsis. But no Tutsi has been indicted or charged with anything. Now, what kind of justice is that? And what kind of reconciliation is possible when only one side gets prosecuted, when both sides have been deeply involved in the tragedy that happened there?
What's your answer to people who, in press accounts, refer to you as the dictator's best friend, the war criminal's best friend? And these were accounts even before Saddam Hussein.
Well, I'd say they are hard up for friends, which I'm sure the people who call me that would say is justice. They shouldn't have friends. You know, all my life at least my adult years as a lawyer, I've thought that the major challenge and duty is to those least likely to get a fair trial and those for whom a fair trial is most important for society. And if that's being a dictator's best friend, so be it.
Mr. Clark, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
Speaking with us from New York, Ramsey Clark.